He had spoken confidently enough in the security of the studio, but now, standing out on the barren lunar plain, that phrase, like a mummy, came back to haunt him. It was not the most cheerful of comparisons. He consoled himself with the thought that it was not really very accurate. He was not wrapped up in bandages, but sheathed in two body-tight garments, one active, one passive. The inner one, made of cotton, enclosed him from neck to ankle and carried a closely packed network of narrow, porous tubes to carry away perspiration and excess heat. Over that was the tough but extremely flexible protective outer suit, made of a rubber-like material and fastened by a ring seal to a helmet that gave 180-degree visibility. When Singh had asked, "Why not all-around vision?" he was told firmly, "When you're running, never look back." Well, now was the moment of truth. Using both legs together, he launched himself upward at a shallow angle, deliberately making as little effort as possible. Yet within 2 seconds he had reached the apex of his trajectory and was traveling parallel to the lunar surface, about 4 meters above it. That would be a new record on Earth, where the high jump had been stuck at just under 3 meters for half a century. For a moment, time slowed down to a crawl. He was aware of the great glowing plain stretching out to the unbroken curve of the horizon. The earthlight slanting over his right shoulder gave the extraordinary illusion that the sinus iridum was covered with snow. All the other runners were ahead of him, some rising, some falling along their shallow parabolas. And one was going to come down head first. At least he had not made that embarrassing miscalculation. He landed feet first, throwing up a small cloud of dust. Letting his momentum pivot him forward, he waited until his body had swung through a right angle before bounding upward again. The secret of lunar racing, he quickly discovered, was not to jump so high that you came down too steeply and lost momentum on impact. After several minutes of experimenting, he found the right compromise and settled down to a steady rhythm. How fast was he moving? There was no way of telling in this featureless terrain, but he was more than halfway to the first 1 kilometer marker. More important, he had overtaken all the others. No one else was within 100 meters of him. Despite the never-look-back advice, he could afford the luxury of checking on the competition. He wasn't in the least surprised to find that there were now only 3 others in the race. "Getting lonely out here," he said. "What's happened?" This was supposed to be a private circuit, but he doubted it. The other teams and the news media would almost certainly be monitoring him. "Goddard had a slow leak. What's your status?"
"Condition 7.
Any listeners might well guess what this meant. No matter. 7 was supposed to be a lucky number, and Singh hoped that he could keep using it until the end of the race. "Just passing 1 click, said the voice in his ear. "Elapsed time, 4 minutes, 10 seconds. Number 2 is 50 meters behind you, keeping his distance." I ought to do better than that, thought Singh. Even on Earth, anyone can do a 4-minute kilometer, but I'm just getting into my stride. At the 2nd kilometer, he had established a steady, comfortable rhythm and covered the distance in just under 4 minutes. If he could keep it up, though of course that was impossible, he would reach the finishing line in about 3 hours. No one really knew how long it would take to run the marathon's traditional 42 kilometers on the moon. Guesses had ranged from a highly optimistic 2 hours up to 10. Singh hoped he could manage in 5. The suit seemed to be working as advertised. It didn't restrict his movements unduly, and the oxygen regulator kept up with the demands made on it by his lungs. He was beginning to enjoy himself. This wasn't merely a race. It was something novel in human experience, opening up wholly new horizons in athletics, and perhaps much else.